God is good, and all the time. Sometimes, however, we get so caught up in our liturgy, we don't look to God. Do you ever have that experience? Good and bad and everything in life. Okay, it should work, and if not, too bad. So, I believe in the bulletin, the title of my words of encouragement is Living Liturgy. And in a Messianic congregation, as well as a church or even in a synagogue, we do liturgy. And sometimes liturgy just becomes a thing we do. And if you were raised in synagogue as I was, and you'd go to shul on Shabbat, you would do these prayers and you would virtually have them memorized and maybe never know what you were saying. Anybody identify with that? Because I had the siddur virtually memorized. And you stand, you sit, you stand, you sit, you bend, you bow. You do all of this liturgy. And in my siddur, my first synagogue, it was Hebrew only. I never even read the English ever. And it became these activities you did. And a lot of times in our congregations and in our lives, we do liturgy. But the Hebrew liturgy is actually wonderful. If you look at the words and then apply the words, one of the most liturgical pieces of scripture is actually Psalm 23, both in the Jewish and in the Christian world. And so I want to look at Psalm 23. Most of us, when we think of Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, we think of a psalm that is relevant to death because we sing it at a funeral. And we sing it at the cemetery and at the the chapel and the cemetery. And it's a liturgy that we think about death. But the reality that this particular psalm has nothing to do with death. It is a living liturgy. And I want to share with you today about this passage of scripture. Actually, when I was in a congregation in South Carolina, I did a series on living liturgy and I took all of the prayers that were based from the scriptures and taught on the scriptures as they apply to the liturgy. And so this is one of many of the prayers that we would recite. That's a liturgical prayer, but it's purely scripture. And it's a wonderful piece of scripture. So turn with me to Psalm 23. While you're turning, I just want to give you a couple of things about the psalm. Psalm 23 is in the middle of a spectacular trilogy. Psalm 22, Psalm 23, and Psalm 24 are just a little trilogy in the middle of the book that if you look at this, it is a wow thing. Psalm 22, we have the suffering Savior. Psalm 23, we have the sustaining shepherd. And in Psalm 24, we have the sovereign king. We see in Psalm 22, the cross. The Messiah dies on the cross to pay the price. In Psalm 23, we see the crook of the shepherd where he has this tool to guide and aid the sheep. And in Psalm 24, we see the crown. He will sit. Who is the King of Glory? We see the past, the present, and the future of the work of Yeshua. And so Psalm 23 is in the middle of this wonderful trilogy. It's a very wonderful passage of scripture, and it's written to guide us in life. Although it may be a wonderful thing to read in death, it's really written to guide us in life. The Lord is my shepherd. Is the imperfect verb to be. And what it says is the Lord is continuously ongoing, never ending, my shepherd. Right? That's what it says. When we look at this, God is always my shepherd. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to read Psalm 23. And we'll talk about Psalm 23 and what this means and what this means for our life. Psalm 23, if you have this Bible, it's page 604. Listen to the words here. Now, keep in mind, I want to also point out that David was a shepherd. He took care of sheep. So these things are very personalized. He knows exactly what it means to be a shepherd. So when he's writing these words and he's saying, the Lord is my shepherd, he's actually identifying having taken care of sheep for a good part of his life. Verse 1 and following, it says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou dost prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou hast anointed my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely, goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Father, we thank you for this wonderful word. Thank you that David lived these things out. And thank you that he wrote them down for us, that we can live these very words as well. We pray you'd bless our time, encourage us in your word, in Yeshua's name. Amen. This is probably one of the most personally intimate poems that David has written. In these six verses, 17 times he uses a personal pronoun. 17 times. That's almost three times per verse he talks about I, the Lord is my shepherd. In contrast, only 13 times does he refer to God. So David is seeing this from a me point of view, a me and my life point of view. And it's a very intimate passage of scripture, very intimate poem. And he is so reliant on God that he just sings out this song of praise about God. Now, as I said before, the Lord is my shepherd in the imperfect tense, always is my shepherd. Do you ever get the sense that you're abandoned? The Lord is always your shepherd. Now, why do I say that? Because a shepherd and his sheep, he's committed to the very best well-being of the sheep. And it may seem like you're abandoned, but he never abandons us. In fact, in the book of Luke, we see a parable of a sheep that gets lost. And what does Yeshua say? He says the shepherd will put down everything and go to search until he finds that shepherd, that sheep that's lost. And so when it says the Lord is my shepherd, he's not going to just let us wander off and disappear. Now, on the other hand, we can choose to do that because we can close God out. But if we're relying on this shepherd, he will find us. He will bring us back to the fold. And in fact, if he needs to, he'll put everything else aside just to bring us back. In fact, God appoints the shepherd, as we see in the Hebrew Scriptures, so that the sheep don't scatter. That's what the good shepherd in the Hebrew Scriptures is supposed to do. And when God appoints this shepherd, he prevents them from scattering all about. Yeshua in John chapter 10 says, I am the good shepherd. So Yeshua is committed to preserving us, to sustaining us, to helping us not get all scattered. Now, two main things about what this shepherd does in our life. The first thing, the shepherd provides. We see provision from the shepherd. He provides everything we need. Verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Literally, I have no needs. I shall have no needs. Everything I need. Now, I want to underline that word. Everything I need. You know, a lot of us get confused with need and want. But everything I need, He provides. Some of us think we need something. A new car. I need a new car. I don't really need a new car. I would like a new car. But I don't need a new car. So everything we need, God provides. And David gives us a bunch of things specifically that he provides. First of all, he provides us with rest. He gives us rest. If you look in verse 2, He makes me lie down in green pastures. When you think of a green pasture, what do you think of? Isn't that restful? Well, for a sheep, it's actually more than rest. But for us, green pastures, we're thinking of a place of relaxation. You're not going to go in Midtown Manhattan and go in Times Square and try to get rest. But green pasture, a place of calming. So he provides us with rest. Rest in the physical realm. And, verse 3, he restores my soul. Spiritual realm. If we are trusting in God, if we are allowing Him to be our shepherd, He gives us rest in the physical, and rest in the spiritual. He restores our soul. A lot of times we have uneasiness of all of the anxieties of life. Yes? He restores our soul. And so if we look to Him and allow Him, He refreshes us from the inside. We can't do it on our own. We can become painfully ill trying. And if we have internal stress, we can actually develop physical sickness. I'm sure you're aware of that. But it's because we labor and filled with anxiety, we can cause ourselves being sick because we're not allowing Him to be the restorer of our inner being. He provides us with rest in the physical realm, in the spiritual realm. He restores my soul. If you're weary, allow Him to do what He does. Allow Him to restore your soul. It's not hard. It's just letting go. Allowing Him. He is the shepherd. He provides us not only with rest. He provides us with guidance. No, it says here, He leads me to quiet waters. He leads me besides quiet waters. He provides us with guidance. How does He do that? When we ask Him to. That's as simple as it is. If we want God to guide us, we just have to ask Him to show us. It's not complex. What is this thing with quiet waters, just so you'll know? A sheep is not a very smart animal. I don't know if you've ever been told that. Sheep are actually rather dumb. And that's why they would wander off and get lost, because basically what they might do is if they find a good patch of green to eat, they just keep chomping away and keep walking, and they'll never look up. And they have no clue where they're going. Then when they look up and they see they're in unfamiliar territory, they're like dumbfounded. And if they are thirsty, they'll put their head into a body of water. no matter how fast it's running, because they're thirsty. And if it's a fast-running stream and the water starts piling away upon their fur, on their coat, it gets so heavy they can't sustain the weight. They'll just drown themselves drinking. Not very intelligent creatures, but it's a good sign of the reliance on the shepherd. So we also have to be reliant. That's why he'll lead us to quiet waters. So when we put down our face to drink, we're not going to get too heavy to keep our head up. Can you see the picture? Well, he guides us, and I'm not talking that we should go out to the brook and put our head in the water, but he guides us to the things that we need. People ask me, how do you hear from God? I want to give you a simple exercise. Here it is. You ready? Pray and listen. That's it. Get a pencil, get a paper, and whatever it is you're seeking wisdom about, ask God to show you. Spend some time in the Word. Ask God to reveal truth to you. And then, you know, in the Psalms it says, be still and know that I am God. Let God answer your prayers. Pencil in hand, paper ready, and just write what he's revealing to you. If you're filled with the Spirit of God and you're entrusting your need of guidance to him, he will answer you. Now, sometimes it's not going to take a few seconds. Sometimes just for us to settle down and be quiet in our spirit takes a little time. But ask and allow him to guide. He will guide you. He will help you make decisions. He'll guide you along the path when things seem to be getting a little rough. He'll guide you on how to proceed. He'll guide you on what he wants you to learn. You ever go through a crisis in life and you're saying, why? He'll reveal that. Sometimes when we go through crisis, it's just so that we're prepared so that when the person who we know is going through the same thing, we can tell them, you know, when I was in that exact situation, this is what God did for me. And I'm sure he can help you in your situation. Sometimes that's the lesson, just so we can pass it along. But he guides us. He provides all of the guidance we need, and he provides all of the guidance we're willing to allow him to give us. The unfortunate thing about sheep is they are totally reliant, whereas us, we aren't. We oftentimes think that we can handle it on our own. So we fight this natural inclination, this natural thing that God created. But if we were truly sheep, we just would be totally reliant on him for everything, because that's the only place it would come from. We're too smart for that, though, right? Some of us. We think we got it. We think we got it in control. We think that our insight is real. How many times have you made a decision and God shows you how poor that decision was? Good news is that we can change plans because God is there and he's guiding. He gives rest. He gives guidance. He gives protection. Now, this is where the passage where it talks about through the valley of the shadow of death. This is not death, by the way. When a shepherd would take his flock of sheep, he would walk through pathways, climb down some steep slopes. And even though they're walking in a little valley, if you can imagine this, you know, if you're walking down a mountainside and there's a little bit of a path, and behind that big tree there may be a lion or a bear, he protects you along that valley. That's what this is talking about. And in fact, we saw that David, when he was a shepherd, you know what he did? He took a lion by his beard and beat him, and a bear. That's what a shepherd does. He protects from the wild animals as they walk from field to field looking for good pasture. He protects us from whatever we might be afraid of. You know, if you've ever walked down in the woods in the night, it could be rather scary. You know, no light, you don't know where you're going, tree stumps on the ground. He's protecting us as we're going through that. And so in life, we might not know where we're heading. We might be walking down small alleys, but he's there to protect us. Now, I'm not telling you that you're never going to be attacked by an enemy, but he's there to protect us, and oftentimes he'll protect us from that kind of enemy. But the reality, I think, if we look at this from a spiritual point of view, we do have an enemy. That enemy we call HaSatan, Satan. And the Bible tells us that if we allow God to protect us from him, we have victory. The scriptures tell us that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And it says if we submit ourselves to God and resist the devil, what will the devil do? He flees. See what it's based on? If we submit to God. If we're subjecting ourselves to God's authority in his life and we are following him and we resist the enemy flees because the enemy is also subject to our king. If we subject ourselves to him and resist. Isn't that good news that God in his sovereignty as our shepherd protects us from the evil one. And you know what the evil one is? You know what his job is? Turn with me to John chapter 10. I want to show you what his job is. And this is where we see Yeshua talking about the good shepherd. John chapter 10. Look at verse 10. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I'd like to take a little liberty and say that the thief is representative of the enemy. He's using an illustration of sheep in a field, and the thief is the one who comes and steals a sheep. But the enemy of our soul, the devil, HaSatan, his job description is simple. Kill, steal, destroy. That's what he does. He wants to kill people. He doesn't care who they are. He just hates people. He hates everyone, so he kills people. He wants to destroy lives. He wants to destroy relationships. He wants to put a wedge between every relationship, whether it be marriage, whether it be people in congregation. That's why it's so easy to fight with people. Because the enemy wants us, and he drives a wedge in between people, destroying, killing, stealing. The enemy wants to steal your joy. He wants to steal your peace. Anything that's of God, he wants to kill, steal, destroy. The Lord protects us from the enemy. And look at what Yeshua says here as he continues in John chapter 10. He says, I came that they might have life. They might have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Isn't that a great picture? The shepherd will lay his own life down to protect the sheep. And that's what Yeshua did. He died to win the battle against the enemy. He died so that we would have protection against the attacks of the enemy. We don't have to fear evil because we are subject to the King of Kings. We are children of the Most High. And he that's in us is greater than he that is in the world. He goes on to say, I just love this passage. I want to read a couple more verses. In verse 12, he who is a hireling is not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep. Behold, beholds the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hireling and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Yeshua is not someone, a hired hand. He is the shepherd. He is the owner. So he has investment in us. And he's not going to abandon us. He will protect us. He provides all the protection we ever need. And if he needs to, he has all of these different weapons. The shepherd is a well-prepared tacticianist with a sling, a crook, a bat, whatever he needs. He has the right tool for the right job. Yeshua has the right tool for every job in the scriptures. And what is the tool? Very simple. The scriptures. Scriptures say that we need to hide the word of God to help us to not sin. These words have I treasured in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So when we have the right scripture in our holster, we can defend against the attacks of the enemy. In fact, it tells us that we take up the shield of faith to put out the darts of the enemy, right? The word of God. Let's go back to Psalm 23. He provides rest for our soul. He gives us guidance for decision making and issues. He gives us protection against the schemes of the enemy, whether they be walking through the fields or whether they be an out and out attack from the enemy. He provides sustenance, food. Two things here. One is the still waters. When you're walking around eating grass all day, you need a little water to wash it down. So God sustains with the provision of water. I mean, water is not something we look to God for provision, but it has to do with the symbolic representation of what we need to go through. And so God gives us spiritual sustaining. And that is, again, through the Word of God. The Word of God, interestingly enough, is compared to water, milk, and meat. How's your diet these days? What are you feasting on? The meat of the Word of God to establish you and grow you in your faith. Newborn babes long for the pure milk of the Word so that they might grow in the respect of salvation. So whether it be milk or meat, the Word of God is our spiritual food to sustain us in our life. And then he goes on to say that he look at what he says in verse 5, back in Psalm 23. Thou dost prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Two things here. First, he prepares a table. This has to do with a banquet, eating a meal. And so God is concerned for our physical needs. But it's interesting that he says, in the presence of my enemies. We can be dealing with opposition from the outside, but we can be enjoying the fellowship with God on the inside. Because he prepares this table in his presence. He says he'll provide the table. Now, I'm not saying that God is going to provide us three square meals. We have nice bagels and whatnot here. But I think it's more applicable to God sustaining us in the spirit realm. We all need to be feeding, nourished on the words of God. For our soul. In the presence of our enemies. Anybody have any enemies? Well, if we're relying on God, the enemies aren't such a big deal. Because God will give victory. God can take us away from the oppositions, from our foes, even though they're right outside our door. It's kind of an interesting picture, and a shepherd would take a wounded sheep into his personal tent to personally care for him, and if need be, anoint him, and if need be, to keep him warm, sleep next to him, inside his own personal dwelling place. That's how much the sheep can rely on the protection of the shepherd. They'll go right into the inner place of the shepherd. And God takes us into this inner place. We have personal intimacy with God of creation because he has said to us, I am your shepherd. I am continually watching out for your best interest. We have provisions from the shepherd. The second thing we have from the shepherd is the presence. And as I was alluding to already, in the inner place, look at verse 6. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There is goodness in the presence of the shepherd. He is good. The other day I was thinking about, what does that mean? It's like we can't even give it adequate words, the goodness of God. He is just way, way too good. He blesses us when we don't deserve it. He forgives us when we need to be chastened. He watches out for us even though we neglect him. That's a kind of wow, God. He is good. And he continually loves us. There is loving kindness, mercy. What does that mean? He will continually give us what we don't deserve. Isn't that an amazing God? Now, just going back to what I began with, that this is a living liturgy. If we're living this, are you getting a picture of this God who wants to be hand in hand with you as you go through life, to take you through everything you're going to face in life? And if you're relying on him and trusting him, everything you can think of, he's caring about. There is goodness, there is loving kindness, and there is worship in the presence of this good, loving shepherd. He says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And David obviously is talking about the tabernacle where he would go and he would worship God and be able to just worship God whenever. God wants our worship. God wants our reliance upon him. God will do everything that we need, but he wants us to cooperate with what he does. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord gives an invitation for us to have an intimate, reliant relationship on him for everything we need in the spiritual life, because he loves us so much, because he's so good. Back in John chapter 10, it says, my sheep know my voice, and they know him. When I was in the Boy Scouts, we had our Boy Scout meetings, our troop meeting. And so inside of the troop, there's a lot of different patrols. We had like 10 patrols. Each patrol had a patrol leader. And when we were finished with the general activity, we broke up into patrols and we had patrol meetings and we would try to see who's going for what badges and whatever. And so each patrol leader would call out with the patrol call. And so you only paid attention to your patrol call. So if "Ah!" was your patrol call, that was my patrol call. You only went to your patrol leader. And everyone else went to their patrol. And so while the sheep, there may be many shepherds in the same field, because there's limited places where they can go, right? So the shepherd calls them and they hear only their shepherd. When Yeshua says, they know my voice, that's what he's referring to, because there may be many shepherds around in the fields, but my sheep know my voice. And he knows us. Not only does he knows us by name. So he's looking over in the field. And when he calls, we hear, we recognize him. We have an intimate, personalized relationship with this God. I pray that this wonderful passage of scripture, which most of us probably know from a liturgical point of view, from cemetery, funerals, that this becomes a living liturgy for our lives. That we would live day by day believing this, that he is continually shepherding me through everything in my life. Today, tomorrow, with everything I need, in the spirit realm, but also as he sees fit in the physical realm. And that if we're relying on him, as David says in verse 1, I shall have no needs. He meets all the needs. He is my total sufficiency. He is my total sustenance. The Lord is my shepherd. I pray the Lord is our shepherd continually in our lives. And may we view it a little differently every time we hear this in the future. That we have this living word to encourage our hearts day after day. Because he loves us so much. Let's pray. Avinu Habashamayim, our Father in heaven. Thank you that you love us so much. Thank you for your eternal mercy, your goodness. And thank you that you care for us so much that you actually provide everything we need. Help us to rely on those truths. And help us to allow you to be our good shepherd. That we would grow in a more intimate way with you. That we might hold to that presence and just experience you in new ways as we trust you for these things. We pray these things and give you thanks in the name that's above every name in heaven and on earth, Yeshua our Messiah. Amen.